Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/move to gas.
Ray Lavery from the Farmers Journal joins us once again. Marie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Gorgeous day too, isn't it?
A lovely day too. Now, we already mentioned Donald Trump, and it's expected that he's going to be pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord.
Yeah.
He's not making friends with farmers either in the United States.
Of course. I mean, farmers and the whole, if you look at the map of America that was red versus blue, I mean, it was all that middle America, all the big rural states. And anyway, that was his base. There were big support out there. And now he's proposing to absolutely slash the farm bill by something like 33.8 billion euros, the equivalent of. Now, if you've ever watched The West Wing, and I was a complete fan of The West Wing,
yeah,
the farm lobby was always, you know, you had to get the three guys from the corn-grown states.
Yes.
You know, you had, and they were coming in because they wanted something to do with pigs or they wanted something to do with maize. So the farm lobby, really, really strong lobby. And they're universally gathered up together to oppose these particular cuts. And I think they've been fairly surprising because, I mean, agri would be one of the big sectors with employment. I mean, it creates jobs, downstream jobs in rural areas. So what he was proposing to do was he was going to cut the insurance premium that's there to protect farmers when prices are really bad. So it's a kind of puts a floor on the market.
Yeah.
So the years where things go really bad, there's a floor there, and it helps them kind of get back in business for the next year. And that could be because of storms, it could be on really bad commodity prices, it could be for crop failure, a whole load of stuff. So he's basically trying to lower that base, bring it down even further. And that's one of the things that they just don't want to deal with. And the other thing he's looking at is charging farmers for all the inspections that take place from the, the health, anything to do with animal inspections.
Right,
or
okay.
Crop inspections to make sure that the quality is there, that they're going to be charged. And that bill is heading up for about half a billion a year that farmers will be paying on top of whatever they're doing already. Plus, he wants to cut the cap that's already there on commodity prices. Again, that's a floor in the market. So, I mean, they're just looking at him. This is what's being proposed. And it will be interesting to see, you know, when it hits the houses of, well, the Congress or the Senate. I don't know which it has to go to. I think it probably has to go to the Congress first.
Mm.
Where the farm lobby will be, how influential they'll be. But if you watch the West Wing, they are hugely influential. And whether this is more important to President Trump than, say, the health bill, you know, getting rid of Obama aid or Obama healthcare or some of his other projects,
Is this part of his budget, his proposed budget?
It's part of his proposed budget,
yeah. Oh, okay.
Which is absolutely massive in terms of the cuts that he's talking about. Like, he's talking about trillions over the next 10 years. So the farming side of it is very, very substantial. They're all up in arms against it. And it's part of his real significant base.
The what's interesting is that he wants to charge the farmers for the quality checks.
For the
Why doesn't he
checks.
Just get rid of it altogether? Because he would see that as regulation.
Well, exactly,
and the kind of thing
think,
that
yeah,
would be
yeah, but you see, again, in terms of the exports, he won't be able to export unless they have these kind of checks in place.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the standard that you need if you're going to export. And America is a big exporter of agricultural produce.
Is it? Oh, I
yeah.
didn't realise
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. Not, I mean, it imports as well, but it's also an exporter.
Right.
So, anyway, there you go. That's what he's doing.
There'd be a long trip, I imagine, between
those proposals. No, I think it's going to be, there's a lot can happen between lip and cup, is it?
Yeah.
And I reckon it's going to happen with him. But again, it's interesting. He doesn't mind whether it's his base or not. Everybody gets treated the same way by the looks of things.
Well, also as well, I kind of was... seemed to be my impression was that while people are very exercised about immigration into the United States, that farmers particularly were aware of the reality that they needed immigrants because they couldn't get anybody else to do the work.
Well, that's it. I mean, for picking fruit, California, the southern states all along the border with Mexico. I mean, that's they're the people that do it. Again, a colleague of mine was in Texas, went over just to actually look at the situation in terms of the border and people coming across. And again, there was a lot of cross traffic across the border, but they were on working visas. They weren't on, you know, full visas, and, you know, coming in. So, I mean, they could maybe travel a distance of 80, 100 miles for to get to their work. But apart after that, it was very, very difficult. But those people were having to go back and forth across the border, you know, every day.
Yeah.
So again, if you're along the border, you're probably okay. But it's for people who are further up, you know, 500 miles, 1,000 miles away from the border. You know, where are they going to get that workforce that's currently supplied through Mexico?
Yeah.
But farming, yeah, and particularly in California, the whole fruit picking area, big employer of migrant labour.
Right, India. They've banned the sale of cattle for slaughter. That's
this
massive.
Is a really unusual story. And it's only after happening, and it's a Hindu government, of course, in India, and what they've done is they've banned the sale of cattle other than for everything for slaughter, but they, you know, what they're farmers can sell cattle for is for breeding, or for milk production, or for working in the fields. So, you know, the animals kind of pull makeshift ploughs, and, you know, the way we did it here a long time ago, that's still the practice in parts of India. So they've virtually closed down the whole slaughter business. Now, I mean, it is kind of extraordinary because exports were worth 3.5 billion euro to India. I mean, it's something equivalent to our own beef market here. And at 300 million head of cattle and buffalo, it's the biggest kind of beef herd in the world. Now, they're not maybe the same quality. They, you know, they're a lot older. They're not finished the same way and all the rest of it. So it's not really equivalent to what we produce in Ireland. But they've literally closed down the marts. They've closed down any way of selling these animals except from farmer to farmer or from people going out buying off individual farmers. And that's literally not going to work for an industry that size.
And was this a sudden announcement? Because it must devastate the industry.
Well, I mean, can you imagine just the people told that you only can sell animals here in Ireland now for, you know, working in the field or for dairy production or for, you know, if you're going to breed off them. That's it, full stop. Everything else is gone. And one of the interesting things about the Indian market is that it's basically the beef market there is run mainly by Muslim community. And this is the Hindu community making these decisions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's expected that it's going to be challenged in the courts. And certainly, you know, they're not going to just let that industry just disappear. And I don't know what they're going to do with the 300 million head of cattle that they have in buffalo. Now, whatever about the buffalo, but the 300 million head of cattle, you know, they're not going to be kept as pets. You know, they're there for a purpose.
Yeah.
And
but if they can't slaughter them,
they
can't afford to keep them.
Exactly. It's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens. But anyway, we'll see what happens when the courts come through. But will it make, I mean, it's the equivalent of taking Ireland and more out of the market, the global market. Will it have an impact on Irish beef sales? Hard to know yet, because it was into the rest of the Asian market. Most of the cattle output of India went. And it's a kind of a different type. It's like ordering, you know, a piece of a rasher versus, you know, the ones, what are the skinny rashers? The ones...
Streaky bacon.
Yeah. It's like kind of being used to getting rashers and then you get streaky bacon. It's kind of, you know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not the equivalent kind of cattle that's being produced. So, but still...
But it would have a knock-on effect.
It has to have a knock-on effect somewhere along the line, yeah. So, I mean, isn't it... it's really funny what kind of can happen right around the world and the impact back on maybe Ireland or individual farmers. It's extraordinary.
But it might take... Or could be a while before you feed that kind of...
But again, look, we'll see what happens when the legal challenges come into place. But I mean, if the government has decided it, I mean, it's a government decision and that's it.
Right. So you'll just have cattle just dying in fields, basically.
You just wonder, wouldn't you? Yeah.
They'll end up with a kind of worse thought. Now, can your tractor tow your trailer? I must say, I never thought about this before. But presumably that's too big for the tractor.
It happened to me once. You know, right now at the moment, you know, you've got all these tractors and trailers on the road hauling silage. And the guards, they had with the IFA, or the IFA organised, I think the guards attended a safety thing for tractors down in Care there on Monday. So a lot of stuff came up, and this towing capacity of your car or your trailer or whatever was one of the things that was mentioned. I remember way back when I first got married and I had a small little car, And I had a tow bar on the back of it, all right. And my husband sent me off, like he does, to get some sand for a bit of building work, what was going on in the place. So I'd go down to the local sand place and, you know, sand and gravel pit. And your man came along with his big loader and I had my little trailer behind the car. And he loaded me up, you know, put in a great big shovel of sand. I was delighted with myself, set off out of the place, paid for it and started heading home. Now, there was about two little, it was about 3 miles to home, but there was two little hills and people who know about it, it was Granny's, but people, or not, it wasn't Granny's. Anyway, people, there's a little hill, a very sharp little hill. Now, it's only about 50, 70 metres. Mm. I was going up this little hill, towing the trailer, and the next thing the car started to wobble on me. And the next thing, the car started to go backwards.
Of course.
It was not funny. I was nearly, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, I had the car in gear and it was still going backwards. So I had to put the foot on the accelerator and push as hard as I could, get into first gear and get it. I crawled home those 3 miles, absolutely crawled, because I had a couple of other little hills to negotiate as well. So, I mean, how many, you know, farmers know exactly what the pulling capacity of their car is or their tractor? And are they overloaded or overloaded? Now, those guys, I often think, you know, they should have you know, knew who they were dealing with in terms of, I knew nothing about towing capacity or how much my little car could tow, and they should have maybe filled it appropriately or said, are you sure you want that much, ma'am, because, like, will that little car take all that where you're living?
Yeah.
And so again, towing capacity, there's a whole load of new regulations came in about tractors and trailers last January 2016, and they're now being enforced, all those regulations. And ignorance is not a plea. You can't plea. It's ignorance is actually neglect. And what the guards are looking for at the moment is with tractors, and there's a hell of a lot of them on the road, so you're just well warned. The common things that are, they're catching fellas on at the moment, and ladies, is the tractor beacon not working or even not turned on. They have one perfectly useful, but it's not turned on. So you need your beacon.
Right, that's like the light on top of it.
The light that whirls around on top, and it just gives people a warning that there's a tractor ahead. Parking lights and indicators not working. Now, indicators not working is like whatever about the, well, they're both in trouble, but indicators.
Deadly dangerous.
Deadly dangerous, because if you're behind a tractor and you've got a shot at passing them out, and the next thing he turns right. Actually, that is one of the biggest areas of collisions between tractors and motor cars, is lack of indicators, tractor turning right, car overtaking. And they don't, you know, they don't know about it. So the lights on the trailer is not connected. Like, you know, so you've got a tractor, it's all lit up, everything thing, and there you're behind a big silage rig or another trailer and there's no lights on it because it's not collected or not corrected correctly or nobody has bothered to double check that it's corrected. And, you know, you can check for your lights in the daylight. You don't have to wait until the dark, you know. So also the lights on the trailers, tires not, you know, at the 1.6 millimetres, and the braking or the parking brakes seized up due to lack of use. So again, the call went out for people, you know, who are on the road. Now, I know, like, sometimes I'm in the humour to drive at a certain speed, more times I'm not.
Yes.
And I kind of dawdle along if I'm not in any rush, and there's a fella maybe with a noddy or something behind me and he's flashing, get out of the way or move in, and it's difficult on a country road. Now, you can travel a good bit on a road in an ordinary car to find a safe pull-in place.
Yeah.
So bear in mind that when you've got a tractor and a big trailer behind it, you know, that safe pull-in place, you know, there's not that many of them. So just, you know, bear that
be
in
patient.
Mind. But above all, if you're driving a trailer, like I have a young fella now at the moment, and if you're driving a tractor and trailer, a silage rig, you know, just know where those pull-in places are and give people the chance to pass out.
Absolutely. Marie, thanks a million for coming into us. Marie Lavery there from the Irish Farmers Journal. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big cheque for the delivery guy? GasNetworks.ie/movetogas.